The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, what a week it has been in the UK. We've seen the collapse of the pound and Liz Truss completely discredited. We've seen, and will be formally announced today, the annexation of parts of Ukraine, the sabotage of Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2. We've had closer to home the business of the EU telling us to get with it on stopping turf being cut on sensitive bogs. And then Sabina Higgins, the wife of Michael D. Higgins, making comments in the Oris about women being thrown out of maternity hospitals far too soon before they've learned properly to breastfeed. We are joined for our Friday forum by Violet Ann Wynne, independent TD for Clare, and herself making history, of course, bringing her babby into the Doyle chamber. Marion Harkin, independent TD for Sligo Leitrim, and Senator Aisling Dolan of Fine Gael, Senator for everywhere, but based in Roscommon, Galway. Good morning and welcome to you all.
Morning.
Thank you.
Now, Marion, we'll go to you first as the seasoned one among the panel. What do you make of Sabina Higgins' comments? I mean, she got into trouble for talking about Russia. Is she on safe ground when she's talking about breastfeeding?
Oh, she absolutely is. I mean, I think most people would agree with her sentiments. I'm not so sure about people spending longer in hospital. Lots of people prefer not to go to hospital to have their babies.
She characterised it as people being thrown out.
Being thrown out. But look, to learn to breastfeed, having experienced it myself, it takes a little bit of time. Now, we have the expert here today,
so
I'm not passing the buck. But nonetheless, it takes a bit of time. And to be honest, I think doing that in the privacy of your own home to begin with, until you get used to it, I think if we had public health nurses,
I mean, the jury's out. Sometimes when hospitals are perceived to be places where you might catch an infection or whether there's overcrowding and so on, you might feel you're better off at home. But other people would like maybe to spend an extra day or so before they're, as Sabina Higgins put it, thrown out. What about your experience, Violet Ann? Were you thrown out?
Well, I can say I've had very good experiences. That baby that I had just recently was my sixth child, so I've had a number of, births in hospital. I did on one occasion get the sentiment that I think Sabina is trying to get across here. I did feel like, you know, there wasn't much space in the ward at the time and it was probably better off if I did go home. And I think Marion's right. I think for the woman herself, it's about having the option. So if that attitude is being, expressed to the woman in the labour ward, that's not good enough at all.
Yeah.
And I think that is a concern.
And sometimes the overcrowding that you refer to, where it's almost like an assembly line, and you know what should be a very precious moment, the birth of a new child, and maybe the partner being present and all the rest of it, that, because of the assembly line nature in busy maternity hospitals, can be destroyed, that sense of special.
It can create a lot of anxiety, I think, for women, and they're already, after going through the traumatic experience of childbirth, so I think that should definitely be addressed. And I think when you're looking at breastfeeding as an option, you need to be building confidence, so you need to have that sense of calm and confidence building, especially with the midwives themselves. So I know she did mention that midwives should be trained, especially in lactation, and I would agree with that sentiment also, just because it's a difficult thing to learn to do.
I mean, I think the headlines were not so much about breastfeeding, because you know most people agree breast is best if you can, but it's not always possible for everybody, and they shouldn't be made feel guilty about it if they can't manage it. Aisling, what's your take on Sabina?
Well, firstly, we're here in University of Galway, and we have an amazing College of Nursing and Midwifery here. Actually, some of the experts in the country come out of this university. To my mind, what I've seen locally in Ballinasloe is community groups, like in our own library, you know, Quidju, there's a breastfeeding group that are coming together. There's sort of a national breastfeeding plan through the HSC as well. But I suppose supports for new mums is really crucial, and that we would see that happen in the community as well as in our hospital settings, I think, is really important.
All right. But anyway, you're all agreed that Sabina did not stand a step outside her brief, because I don't think the HSC is majoring on breastfeeding or maternity stays in hospital just at the moment. So she's not stepping on anybody's toes. Now, let's talk about turf, Marion.
Talk about stepping on toes.
Now, what's your feeling about the EU? I mean, some bogs are, shall we say, more sensitive than others. And they're saying our most sensitive bogs have to be protected. Do it now.
Well, I suppose the first thing I want to say, just an overall comment, talk about bad timing in the middle of an energy crisis. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people listening today who will think to themselves, that's going to be my main source of fuel. I have a bog. I'm not going to be able to afford to buy gas or oil or coal or whatever. And this is going to help me and my family to get through this winter. Now, that's the overall context. So as I said, it's the worst possible timing, but there is an issue.
Yeah, you're a veteran European, yes, we should stress.
I spent 15 years and I attended more meetings, both in Ireland and in Brussels, about turf cutting than nearly anything else. And SACs, special areas of conservation, that's what they are. Those bogs are being protected. And Pat, everything has a context. And if you go back to when this was brought in first, many, many years ago, Ireland got what was called a 10-year derogation. We actually took it rather than got it. And then we did nothing. We just let it sit and we didn't move. And then when the EU, the Commission came back, backs to the wall, people under pressure.
So now we're hearing the chickens coming home to roost.
Yeah, and I'm talking about this happened 10, 15 years ago. So now the chickens are coming home to roost. But it's important to say, Pat, a lot of good work has been done with people who own bogs, who cut turf to reclaim those bogs. But there are still some that are outstanding.
Okay, and we heard the Taoiseach comment from the Taoiseach saying you'll still be able to cut your turf and you'll still be able to share with your neighbour. How that's going to be squared with the EU, time will tell. Aisling, what is your view on this? Because it's been a difficult negotiation with the Green Party within government for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil.
Well, we've fought very hard to have practical measures here for families, particularly, as Marina said, coming into the winter months. But I think we need to remember as well, like say here in Galway, like Mount Bellew is Galway's living bog, over 1,000 acres there, sphagnum mosses, raised bogs, protected. And that's like farmers in the local area working to develop our bogs for the future. I think everyone recognises that, you know, times are changing, like new bills now, for example, don't have open fires. But we have to be practical about this. And I think Just Transition is all about that. Just Transition is about helping those communities that are more vulnerable, that are more impacted when it comes to fuel and energy costs than some of, say, our urban-based city centre people.
Yeah, well, I think Just Transition there is a key word for me. I know for a lot of people with the energy crisis and the bills that are coming in now and what's to come in the next couple of months, that's what's on the forefront of their minds. And the fact that they don't have alternative options, that they don't have, in many cases, I suppose, enough, maybe enough work hasn't been done when it's come to renewables or alternative sources of energy at this point in time. And I think to know that the Department of Environment has, you know, had a cut in, I suppose.
Well, maybe we need to get a quantitative handle on if all the permitted bogs are going to be used by the people, you know, the small users of turf and those who share with their neighbours, for example, rather than the commercial turf cutters who will probably have to go out of business, whether it's now or next year or the year after. It's probably going to happen. But just against the background of Germany deciding to burn more coal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have to get a quantitative sense of what's going on in terms of what we're doing.
The timing is incredibly bad. But I think, to be fair, a lot of good work has been done with different groups and different politicians, Pat, and I'm not going to claim any credit here myself, but I see some of my colleagues, the likes of Michael Fitzmaurice, Luke Ming-Flanagan, they have worked very hard over many years with turf cutters, with the government, with the commission, trying to find solutions for those who cut the turf. A lot of progress has been made. We still have further to go, and that's why I'm saying we're getting there, and then for this to arise today middle.
Bad timing.
Yeah. Oh,
bad timing.
The worst.
Okay, moving on, the collapse of the pound, does it, give you any pleasure to see the British making a total bags of their economy?
No,
absolutely
not.
Shocking.
It's concerning. Very difficult for Northern Ireland as well. For anyone who's exporting into Northern Ireland, like we've seen huge increase in terms of our export trade with Northern Ireland over the past year. In fact, it's one of the fastest growing areas in the UK. So any sort of damage like this is it's difficult. It's very difficult.
Selling into Northern Ireland will become more expensive for the producers in the Republic, but equally stuff coming over the border from Northern Ireland and a lot lot of that, you know, it's two-way trade.
Yes.
That will become cheaper. We don't know how the swings and roundabouts will work out on that one.
Well, it will have a big impact in border regions because a strong pound, people will tend to go north. A strong euro. People will tend to go north, both to spend their money. And also, one of the issues that I raised about the budget was the 9%, the continuation of the 9% VAT for hospitality. That's important nationally, Pat, but it's also crucial for hospitality businesses in the border region, because they just won't be able to compete, not only with the strong euro, but the strong dollar. The people who'll be coming here will be going north of the border. So that's a really important issue, and I think government need to look at that again in the context of the collapse of sterling.
Violet?
Yeah, I would agree there about the VAT staying at 9%, and I think that does need to be reviewed again, because I know it's only been extended till February, and the hospitality industry themselves are looking for an extension, and I think rightly so. Yeah, I would agree with everyone here that it doesn't bear any, I think, positivity for us, knowing the struggles that are going on in British economy.
Well, you know, Pascal Dunne's reaction to the price gouging, that's part of what happened in the budget, because the terrible price gouging that went on, particularly in the more populated areas, no doubt price gouging didn't go on in places where the business wasn't great.
Yeah. Well, certainly there is an element of that, Pat. He's not wrong. But I mean, I stayed in Galway last night, last minute booking. I got a 4-star hotel, 119. You know, that's not price gouging. So, and I think while there certainly was some of it, you know, the market takes what people are prepared to pay. And once we have people with strong euro, strong dollar, and if there's better value north of the border because of collapse in sterling, that's where they'll go.
Yeah.
Now, the budget generally, I'll go to you, Senator Aisling Dolan of Fine Gael.
Thank you.
It so much of it was leaked. With the exception of concrete blocks and hospitality, there's a bit of a so what about it? Because what it is going to do is hopefully help people cope with their increasing bills.
Exactly.
So they're going to get some help. It won't be all the help they need, though.
Exactly. Well, it's cost of living measure. Like, we've seen over $2 billion that's been allocated here to help put money back into people's pockets. And that's people from all backgrounds all across Ireland. You know, it's going to be very welcome when we see that electricity credit. But the reason it's been done is in the face of rising costs, this government is responding to a crisis that's out there. That is the reason that we're seeing the supports that are put in place. This government has put those supports in place all during COVID and the lockdown. We need to be supporting our communities, our economy, our families and businesses now as well.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of what was said in Budget 2023 is noble in theory, but, you know, they're once-off measures in a lot of cases, and, you know, talking to people who...
But isn't that the sensible thing to do? Because you can't depend on all that corporation tax going forward. And once you start putting in recurring costs, you've got to find the money, and the only way that's going to happen is income tax will have to increase for ordinary people if you put huge recurring costs into the system.
Well, there is $2 billion going into the National Reserve Fund, so I think the money is there, and they do project that being even higher for next year as well. And if you go back to, I suppose, the corporation tax in the first place, Pascal Donoghue was, I suppose, sceptical in increasing it in the first place, and that is why we are here now, because the increase did happen and we have been able to take in so much tax from the corporation tax industry.
Well, that doesn't explain the massive hike in corporation tax over the last decade, not a 2.5% increase. Marion, the budget,
I
from your point of view?
When the dust settles and certain amount of analysis is done, I mean, the ESRI has done some Social Justice Ireland, and looking at what they say, they distinguish very much between what Violet Ann was saying, the temporary and the permanent measures. Mm-hmm. The permanent measures stay in place. You know, the 12% increase in social welfare, which is recognised by most people, it really should have been more, but that's a permanent change.
Yeah.
Similarly with the tax credits, etc. Whereas the temporary changes, very welcome, and most people are happy with them. But this time next year, the SRI is saying that those on lower incomes will be that bit worse off. So it's... good measures, but the overall impact, not nearly, I think, as positive as people thought at the beginning.
I want to just get your views finally in the last couple of minutes we have about Ukraine. Okay. Are you scared, Violet Anne, of what Vladimir Putin might do?
I think a lot of people are. I think his, you know, actions in recent times about the annexations, the fake referendum as well, it hasn't bode well for confidence, I suppose, as to where this is all going. We're now at day 219 of these actions. And I think a lot of people are in fear as to what his next move is going to be.
Yeah, and that nuclear spectre hanging over us all. Aisling? Yeah.
Oh, completely. I mean, it's absolutely shocking to see, like, this is a democracy under threat, and we really need to value the power and strength of democracy around the world. And what we're seeing now is a democracy that is fighting for its life. And you'll see that there's support coming from the European Union, there's support from Ireland, and there's support for all the families from the Ukraine that are coming here to Ireland as well.
It's not only one democracy. We see Italy's going right. Bolsonaro's threatening that he won't give up power when he is beaten, which he will be in the Brazilian election. Worrying times, Marion.
It is, and I think we've entered a new phase, if you like, the infrastructural war. I mean, when you look at the Nord Stream gas pipeline, what's happened, and in a way, I'm contradicting myself because it's not a new phase. We've had our cyber attacks. We saw what happened to the HSE, and now we have to think, where is that going to go? And I mean, you know, Vladimir Putin needs some wins, but annexing those four regions of Ukraine means that if Ukraine tries to get those regions back, it is now seen as an attack on Russia.
Yeah, which no one accepts, really.
No, nobody accepts it, but it really is ratcheting up the whole matter. And I suppose just one sentence, Pat, I read, I wish I'd said it myself, but I didn't. But I thought this really, if you like, encapsulated where we find ourselves now. They said that the outcome of this war will determine this century, that if Russia loses or doesn't do as well as they should, it will change Russia. If Russia wins, it will change the face of Europe. And I think that's what we're all concerned about this morning.
Antony Blinken said if Russia stops fighting, there will be peace. If Ukraine stops fighting, there will be no Ukraine. No words to that effect. Look, thanks to you all for coming into the University of Galway to be with us this morning. Violet Anne Wynne, Independent TD for Clare. Marion Harkin, Independent TD for Sligo Leitrim. And Senator Aisling Dolan of Fine Gael.
Thank you very much, Pat.
All right, a reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show. My thanks to the team at News Talk HQ, editor Eimear Bradley and producer Mike Hogan, Oisin McGovern and Eimear Collins, broadcast assistant Anne-Marie Kane and Peter Malloy on sound. And here on site, special thanks to our hosts, the University of Galway and Ed Carty, and our team here, senior producer Claire Darmody, researcher JJ Clark, Paul Buckland on sound, and Seifer O'Donovan on operations. And of course, our wonderful audience for braving the weather and coming to the Cube to be with us. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.